Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I preached about the deaf man who wanted to hear, and Jesus healed him. Today, we have a blind man, Bartimaeus, who wants to see, and Jesus healed him. In the Friday 2 p.m. MailChimp that comes out, I wrote an introduction about what the sermon would be about today, and I wrote, "Our gospel and scripture readings this Sunday point to God's mercy and love. We are reminded we need that mercy to live, that mercy of God, and to share it with others. As Christians, we are called to be God's agents in the world, sharing love and mercy." When I gave that sermon about the man who was deaf, I talked about a couple of gentlemen who live downtown near our building right across from Chase Field, one gentleman named Rex and the other one named Richard. And I wanted to give you an update. So I gave Richard some, and Rex also a pillow, and Richard a pillow and a blanket and some food and some tuna fish cans and some water, because he's on the streets. He actually lives right behind the building, right in a little kind of little U-shaped concrete enclave right by the railroad tracks. If you remember, I had said that his daughter is a police officer somewhere here in the valley in one of the neighboring towns. And he was up in the Apache Mountains and came down to see his daughter and his new granddaughter. But because of some of his issues of addiction and all that, he's not able to stay in the apartment with his daughter. I found out recently that he has a sister kind of south and a little bit west of downtown, and he goes over there to take a shower and use the restroom and uses one of her bikes. A few weeks ago, I saw him again because I hadn't seen him because we had the monsoons and it kind of washed out his living area. And then I wondered where he was, and he was at his sister's house. And then I saw him again. I said, "Richard, oh, Scott, how are you doing?" And he didn't have anything. He was sleeping right there with shoes as his pillow, tennis shoes as his pillow. And I said, "I'm going to go upstairs and get you a pillow. And I'm going to get you a blanket. And I'm going to get you some water." So I went upstairs and brought it down. He was very grateful. About 2 days later, I saw him again, and he didn't have the pillow or the blanket, and I thought, like, sometimes that happens with people on the street, that someone stole it. And so, gave him some more water and prayed with him and wished him well, and we see him again, and he was very nice, and he cleans up some of the debris and trash that we find around our building after a baseball game. So he's kind of working in his environment, his neighborhood, to clean it up. And we're very grateful. And so, a few days later, I was up by McDowell and 7th Street. I was at near the Safeway there, and I was going into an office to get something notarized. And I was in the lobby waiting for the person to get back from the lunch break. And I was facing this way toward the elevators, and it was about maybe 2:30 in the afternoon, and I hear the door open behind me from the outside, and someone come in, and I heard his voice. And this is a couple miles from where we live. He lives here, I live here. And I said, "Richard." And he said, "Oh, okay." He came over, and I said, "What are you doing over here? It's kind of far from the building." He said, "Well, I just got off the bus, so I needed to cool down. So I thought I'd come in this building." I said, "Okay, it was great to see you," and we talked a little bit, and I said, "Well, where are you headed?" He said, "I'm headed to see my probation officer because I have to give a urinalysis so that I can continue to live out here." And he said, I'm going to 3737 South 7th Street. And I said, well, are you on this side of the road? He said, yeah. I said, you're going north. You need to go south. Oh, he got all confused. And he said, I've got to be there by 5 to my probation officer, or he's going to do a bench warrant, have a judge do a bench warrant and arrest me and go back into jail. So I said, well, let's call your probation officer. So we called him. I got on the phone and I said, told him who I was, and I live downtown, and I've kind of become his pastor in a way, and working with him, and he's been working to clean up the neighborhood. He's been doing a good job and trying to give some type of credibility to the fact that, you know, somebody that has a title or whatever can vouch for him. And he said, well, he still has to come in today. He needs to be here by 4:30 or he'll be arrested. And this man is in his late 60s, early 70s. It's like any grandpa. So I said, Richard, I got to go up and do this paperwork, but stay here, and I'll drive you down to the probation office. Will you do that for me? I said, absolutely. So I did my work, came and got him, drove down. It was about, we got there about 10 to 4, so we had plenty of time. He went in and did his paperwork, did what he needed to do based upon the law, and wasn't put in jail. Now, I think that is a God moment. What are the odds of me being in that office lobby at the same time that he comes in, headed the wrong way, could have been arrested, probably didn't know, and would have been up at 3737 North 7th Street? That's what we call a God wink, when God winks at you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I drove him down and dropped him off and, you know, said, I'll see you around the building. And he went in and did his thing, and I went home. It only took me 5 minutes out of my way, not a big deal. You know, Jesus reminds his disciples to be in the world, not of the world. We have a chance to do the same as people of faith. The opportunities are around us all the time. There are plenty of God winks out there if we just can take off the scales from our eyes like Paul, not be blind to them. A lot of people who are without homes on the street, people don't look them in the eye. They look through them. And I understand some people are nervous, they're going to ask me for money, I don't know what to say. But there are opportunities all around us that the Holy Spirit gives us to exercise our faith as people of God. A week later, I saw him outside, and we were talking to some folks who were walking dogs, and he said, I would walk 10 miles for this man, Mr. Scott, for what he did for me. And he came over and he gave me this bowl. And he said, I got this for you at a Goodwill store. I paid $5 for it. And $5 for someone on the streets is a lot of money. I thought you'd like it. Look at the bottom. So I looked at the bottom. Made by Gregorian monks in the U.S. And I have a feeling this might have been a baptismal bowl. That's what I'm going to go with. And in the bowl, he had a packet of dry dog food. This is for you. This is for your dogs. I know you love your dogs. And I didn't tell him that they don't eat dry food. They can only have wet food. But I thank you so much. Amen. Thank you for remembering my dogs. This is a blessing. Someone giving me a baptismal bowl. As Christians, we're baptized to be ministers of the gospel, not fancy clergy or any of this stuff with these stoles. We're all called to do that, are we not? To not be deaf or blind to the needs of the world. To show that same love and mercy to other people that God has shown to us. I'll never forget that. That was one of the most amazing blessings of my life, to be able to help this man that God put right there at the same time at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Monday afternoon. So what opportunities do you have in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, to show that love and mercy? How is that manifested in your daily life? There are plenty of ways. If you go to a grocery store and you can see the same checkout folks, why not consider giving them a Christmas bonus to make their life easier on their feet all those hours? What I want to do one day when I retire is to go to Walmart and stand near the customer service, and when people come in to pay their layaway for their child's Christmas gift, I want it to be anonymous that someone paid off your thing for your child. Some people call that karma in the Eastern religions. What I call it is looking out and seeing a different perspective of what the world presents to us. To not be deaf, to not be blind, and not just receive it, but to go and seek it. To go and find those opportunities, those God winks that God brings through the Holy Spirit. Because they're there every single day. And I would pray that this week, maybe we could do one thing for one person when God is winking at you and at me and at each of us. Amen.